Plus, the Bruins Benders post-game live coming at you after a game 5, 2-1 Toronto Maple Leafs win in overtime, and they stave off elimination. It's brought to you on the Inside the Rink Podcast Network through InsideTheRink.com. It's Maddie and Smitty, and I'll tell you what, Smitty, this has the makings of a song we've heard before.
It does, and I don't fucking get it. I don't get it. Why are we changing the lineup in game fucking 5? Yeah. Why? You just won 2 in a row in Toronto. Why are you changing anything? I don't understand it at all. I don't either.
And I said this. I thought Jim Montgomery was playing that mind game with the practice lines and the warm-ups, and just kind of he was going to kind of keep it where it was. And first we thought it was Derek Forbort going in, then we thought it was Matt Grizzle going in. But at the end of the day, I thought he's not going to do anything different. We're just going to keep the same thing. Maybe he's taking a look at it in case of game 6. But no, he brings Matt Grizzle in, who's had his issues in the postseason in the past. Hasn't played in a while. And then I know Kevin Shattenkirk hasn't been great. He's been on the goal on the ice for 4 Maple Leafs goals. He only plays about 10 minutes a game. But still, I don't think you make that move because you're going with Grizzly, a guy who's smaller. And like we see in the overtime goal, gets beat to the outside, gets strong-armed to the post. Tavares puts it on net, hits off Grizzly's skate because he's retreating and trying like hell to stay above water. And it heads right over to Matthew Nyes, and it's a goal.
I am like dumb fucking founded. I just don't have an answer as to why he would do this. We've talked about it. You've talked about it ad nauseum about him overmanaging, and he's doing it again. He's doing it again. And the thing about the Grizzly thing that really fucking burns me now is Shattenkirk was playing 10 minutes a night. Grizzly tonight was fucking almost 19 minutes.
19. Yeah.
Waterspoon played 14 and Lowry played 16. Why is Grizzly out there for 19 fucking minutes when he was awful in the first period, mediocre in the second period, and then was on the ice for the overtime goal against? Is he going to hold that against him like he's holding the other goals against Shattenkirk? We'll fucking see, but I doubt it.
I doubt it. I don't know why he played so many minutes. Like, Shattenkirk literally played 10 minutes per night.
Yeah.
And they went with the other 5 guys. And the other 5 guys played extremely well. And why not just do it again?
Do it again.
I don't understand. And then you have to go to the fact that the Bruins, again, don't come out with a ton of confidence. They talked about it on the broadcast. They're retreating, letting Toronto get open ice. Like, they're just not attacking. They're not standing up at the blue line. They were just kind of letting Toronto dictate the pace and all of it. At least in the first period, it wasn't a very good first period at all. They came out like they were, you know, staving off elimination. They came off like they were down 3-1 instead of just saying, we're at home. You guys are on the ropes. We're going to take it to you. At the end of the day, what does it matter if you play balls to the wall, aggressive as you can be, and lose? Then you have 2 more games. You'd rather do that than play passive and then lose, and now you're in trouble. Like, I don't understand what the mindset is when you're up 3-1 at home. To do this again is similar to last year. And what did they do last year in game 5? Lost in overtime. And now here we go to game 6 in Toronto. Same song and dance. And Swayman was terrific. I mean, it's not his fault that they scored those goals. So now what do you do? Are you going to play Allmark in game 6? Like, it's just...
He probably will. He probably will play Allmark in game 6. He probably will do it. And he's just overmanaged the hell out of this thing. And I don't understand it. And I'll never understand it. The mindset going into it is just... I can't even wrap my brain around why you would change things when you're having success. I just can't wrap my brain around it.
It's a classic overmanaged move. Like, you won those games with Shattenkirk in there, even though he didn't play a long time, but the other guys played fine and they played the minutes and you shut them down you know, defensively. Now tonight, Toronto only scored two goals. They scored one in overtime. It wasn't like they gave up all these goals and so forth. But you change personnel, and that personnel directly affected the game at the end. And I don't understand why you have to be the one making adjustments when you're up 3-1 and the other team is dead, just about dead.
They should be adjusting to you. They were without Austin Matthews in this game too, and it seemed to help them almost, like they were galvanized. Joseph Wall started too for the first time, and he was very good in this game. He made some big saves for them late, especially on Trent Frederick on the kind of pulling it to the forehand and trying to beat him to the far post. That was a huge save. There was a couple net front battles that were, you know, in tight that he made big saves on. So he was good, and maybe he's in the Bruins' head now. And you know, the Bruins have all the pressure on them going into game six in Toronto. It's just an absolute mess, 100%. And I just don't get it.
100%. So it starts with goal by McCabe, who scores to give the Maple Leafs a 1-0 lead. And then you see the Bruins, again, just not playing with a ton of confidence, playing passively, like just not connecting on passes. Don't know what they do. No flow on offense, as David Ilsey says, like no flow on offense. Really not generating many chances. You know, they're not going tape to tape with passes. It's just not a really good offensive flow for them. Now, they do get a goal from Frederick. It's kind of off a lucky bounce, like just fortuitous. And you would think 1-1, get that goal. You would think they'd be like, okay, like this, like we get a break. Let's use it to our ability. Let's go. But they really don't generate much after that either. And it leads to Toronto kind of, you know, dictating play, Swayman having to make some really big saves to keep them off the board, including late in the game. And it just wasn't a great night of execution for a team that should be executing better up 3-1.
I agree 100% about the execution. I think that was the main problem. It's almost like they were trying so hard to win, and they wanted to win so badly that they just were like, they froze up. Like they froze up in the moment. They were gripping the sticks too tight, so the pucks were exploding off their sticks. They were, a little bit off on their passes. You know, they had the adrenaline, so everything was a little bit too much, a little bit too hard. Passes were, you know, they were just off all night with their execution. And I really feel like it's because they want to win so badly that they're putting so much pressure on themselves to do it that they can't just go out and play. They overthink everything. They are making mistakes that they wouldn't normally make because they're just trying, like, I got to make a play. I got to do something, you know, positive, you know, where it, they don't just go out and play and let the game come to them and play the way they're used to playing, the way they've played all year that has gotten them to this point in the season. With the 3-1 lead.
And here's the thing. You know, we talk about last season and how they collapsed and lost three in a row to the underdog and so forth. It's not like everybody on the team is back, and you have that same feeling you had. It's eight guys weren't here. Like, so that's part of it. Like, I don't understand why, again, this year, the same thing. We saw it in 19 in the Blues in game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, every time they get a really big game at home, they seem to do this with this core. So now you really have to question this core. Like, can they really rise up when need be? Can McAvoy and Pastrnak and even Coyle and all these guys, can they get it done when they need to get it done? Lindholm, all of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a question until they prove otherwise. That's going to be a question about these guys. I mean, Marchand was a rookie in 2011 when they won it. Mm-hmm. So he didn't even know what he was doing. He was just out there playing, and that's probably why he was played better. Because he didn't, you know, he didn't understand the gravity of the moment. And these guys all understand the gravity of it, you know, from Bergeron last year, had his last chance to win a cup, and they choked it because, you know, the pressure was on them. They wanted to win for him badly. They understand the stakes in all of this. And it's almost like you got to be, you know, a little bit dumb, you know, a little bit stupid about the whole thing and just go out and play. And not think about it, not think about the gravity of the moment. You know, as Mark Recchi told those guys back in 2011, it's just another game. Go out and have fun and play like you know you can play. Maybe Pat Maroon is that guy. Maybe with his experience, he can be a voice in the locker room after this loss and talk some guys down off the fucking ledge and get some guys back to like within themselves and play hockey the way that they know how to play it. And they can close this team out. They can. But it's going to come down to whether, like you said, whether or not those guys can step up and rise up in the moment and make a play when you need to make a play to get a win. You know, you go back to last year with Marchand. You know, he has a breakaway late in game five. You score, the game's over, you win the series. But Bobrovsky stops him. They go on to lose the series. Tonight, Frederick has a chance to win, to score late. You know, scores that goal, the series is essentially over.
Yeah.
You know, they've had chances to make plays to win games and win series, and they just haven't been able to make them.
Right. And tonight, with about 7 minutes left, Frederick had that chance in front. He didn't bury it. And then right before the goal from Nyes to win the game, they had a chance right in front. And Wall makes a really great save.
Yeah.
They have a chance and then a transition back and it's in the net. And it's just like you said, you're like a sea hare away from winning the thing. And then you don't. And now you go into game six against Toronto in Toronto with a raucous crowd. And now they're smelling blood on you now.
Sure.
Because they know you're tight in the sticks. They know you're
unnerved.
Nervous.
Yeah.
They know that it's there for the taking now. So they go in and win this one. And then game seven, God knows. And we've seen game sevens at home before. Not good news there either. So this is really danger zone time for a team that's up 3-2. But I would favor Toronto right now in a complete 180 from what was happening.
Yeah, because they have all the momentum now. You know, you win a big overtime game without your captain, on the road to stave off elimination. Then you can come back home. It's, you know, and you have a chance to get even. And then game seven, anything can happen, right?
Sure. So anything can happen.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what the Bruins do here with the lineup in game six. You know, I think they probably do go to Allmark, you know, as crazy as that sounds. And I think they maybe stay with the defense. And another thing that we didn't mention, Brandon Carlo was hurt late in the third period. It took a shot off the side of the face and did not return after that and did not come out for overtime. So that is a huge loss potentially if he's not ready to go Thursday night.
Yeah, a huge loss if they lose Carlo. I mean, he played almost 22 minutes to that point. You know, a couple block shots. And I mean, Carlo's a huge shutdown guy, especially against Matthews. If he's back out there in game six, I mean, that's a big matchup in Boston's favor. And it's a big, now you've got to go Grizzlick and probably Forbort. Now you're just not as strong as you were. And, you know, this is here's the other thing. I mean, I get that Justin Brazo played well at the end of the season, but what do they have against John Beecher? Like, what do they have against the guy? Like his numbers are fine and he brings speed. He wins faceoffs.
Faceoffs tonight were 60% Toronto, 39.6% for the Bruins.
Yeah. So what are we
32 to 21.
Like, why do you need to get Justin Brazo into the lineup?
No idea.
I just don't understand.
No idea at all.
I mean, he had five hits. He's fine, whatever. He had no shots. But I just think that Beecher adds a different dimension. Like, he scored in this series. Like, he's their best face-off guy in this series. Like, I don't understand what they're doing. I don't get it. Like, how about tonight? Pavel Zacha wins 4 draws, loses 13. Like, don't you want Beecher out there?
You do. I do. I want him out there because he also kills penalties. And he's fast, which is something this team severely lacks. He has size. He uses the body. He wins faceoffs. I mean, all of the things that Brazo can do, Beecher can do as well.
Sure, of course, right.
Andy's faster, and he wins faceoffs. Andy penalty kills. So what the fuck are we doing here? What are we doing?
I don't know what that was about. I don't know what that was about. Like, I don't get it. I don't know if he just had a hunch that maybe Brazo would kick one in or something. I don't know what Brazo brings to the table that Beecher wouldn't bring to the table. Like, I can see Brazo for maybe Maroon, I guess.
Yeah.
But Brazo for Beecher? Like, Beecher's been fine winning draws, killing penalties, scored a goal early in the series. Like, he has a chance to make a game-breaking type of play, like, with his speed.
Sure.
And so forth. Like, I mean, it's just another over. Like, if they're down 3-1, then fine.
Yeah.
You know, try it.
Try something else.
But
yeah.
They're up 3-1. Like, what are you doing?
The Brazo Maroon Boquist line to me is just mind-numbingly stupid because it's two guys who can't skate. And one guy that's really fast. So how are they supposed to play together when two of them can't even get into the offensive zone when the other guy's there with no one to pass to? It's just ridiculously stupid.
It is.
And they did it anyway. And they, you know, if you have Beecher with Boquist, that's two guys that are fast, right? So they can play off each other. And then you have Maroon for the physicality and the puck possession down low and those kind of things and the veteran toughness and all that. Great. Right. Love it. But Brazo has no place in this lineup unless you take out a guy like JVR and you're not taking that veteran experience out of the lineup now.
No.
Especially after he scored a goal in the last game. So it just didn't make any sense at all. None.
No, none. None. I was really surprised at the Brazo thing. Like, I really was. I was like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm with you on the Maroon-Brazo combination. You know, not great. Just going through some stats tonight. Morgan Geeky had eight hits. He had 3 shots, played a pretty good game, 14-40 and 23 shifts. He was 5-for-10 on the draws as well. Geeky actually played a pretty good game. It was Coyle who had 5. What was that? 5 shots missed, SM?
Yeah, it is. Shots missed.
Yeah, 5 shots missed. So, he missing the net, he had 2 shots on net. Frederick had 4 shots on net and the goal.
Coyle did have a crossbar. One of those SMs was a crossbar.
Right. And then, of course, Marchand had no shots on net. That can't happen.
No.
Can't happen in game 5.
No, I mean, right now, the Leafs' top 6 is outplaying your top 6 100%.
Yes, 100%.
And you're still up in the series somehow.
Yes, somehow.
And it's really because of the power play. Now, the Bruins only got 1 power play chance tonight. The Leafs got 3. Some of the calls were horrendous and ridiculous or whatever, but that wasn't the reason they lost this game. The Bruins were awful up and down. It didn't have anything 100%. To do with power play or penalty kill because the Bruins killed that stuff off. We got a bunch of comments I want to get to. Dave Ilsley says, if we get to game 7, I'm not watching. It's not good for my health. I agree with you 100%, Dave. If I wasn't doing this podcast, I'd probably just drink heavily. who's this? Pedgeman. Sorry if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly. Plenty of blame to go around, but Lindholm is one of the softest playoff men I've ever seen. 6'4", 215, never wins a puck battle, fails to clear every puck, 0 offensive contributions either. I thought he struggled at times in his own end, for sure. I thought offensively, he was one of the few guys I thought that had some legs tonight. And made some plays going into the offensive zone, but I agree with him as far as his defensive play tonight. I didn't think he was great. Yeah. I thought he kind of was kind of throwing the puck around willy nilly. But so was everyone else on the team. Beth says, hopefully Kylo doesn't have a concussion. I second that, Beth, because, you know, he's had some issues with that in the past. So that would be very bad.
So a tremendous opportunity tonight, says Tyson.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the ultimate opportunity. I mean, I just, you know, to make those changes and then to come out scared to death, like you're down 3-1. And if you make one mistake, your season's over. It's just an odd way to play. It's just an odd way. And this team continues to do that type of thing. And I don't understand why. It almost makes me wonder, do you think the team is uneasy about, or doesn't have a ton of confidence in Jim Montgomery?
I don't know if it's Montgomery. I think it's in themselves. I feel like they themselves, like they struggle in these situations, and maybe it's the message. So it could fall on Montgomery. Maybe the message they're getting is it's really, really hard to close somebody out and to win, you know, a series clinching game. So they take that pressure on themselves instead of saying, hey, we're the better team in this series. Let's go out and take this and win it. Mm-hmm. They're feeling like, oh, this is going to be extra hard. We got to do everything perfectly. And when you try to play perfectly, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to grip the stick too tight and you're going to, you know, make boneheaded plays and do some things that are uncharacteristic of yourselves. Whereas if you were like, we're going to go out and take this, and bring our game to them and play fast and get pucks to the net, then I think that's a different story. But their mentality, and we talked about this with the Swayman Allmark situation earlier, the mentality I think is a little bit fragile. It's like, oh, you know, we switch guys, you know, maybe it affects somebody, maybe it doesn't, you know, maybe it affects the Leafs, maybe it doesn't. You know, there's just a fragility to this team, I think, mentally and with their confidence, that it's really hard for them, I think, to get over this hump because of the way that they've performed in the past, really.
Yeah, and I think it has something to do with that. Like, they've lost these opportunities in 19 and in last year. They hadn't won a game. This type of situation where they win two road games and come into a game five at home, last time they won that was in 2014 against the Red Wings. In 2020, in the COVID year, they did it, but there was no crowd. So 2014, 10 years since they've had this situation, win two on the road, go up 3-1, have game five at home. And, you know, and Tyson makes a good point about Shattenkirk. Is he injured? I just think it was the numbers and the fact that he's been on the ice for 4 goals. He's only played 10 minutes. I think they wanted someone who would play more minutes, obviously, because they gave Grizzlick almost 19. Mm-hmm. So I think that they wanted a guy who could spread out the minutes more. And they thought that Grizzlick was the skater and the type of guy who is similar to Shattenkirk. So let's put him out there and, you know, forward's not ready, et cetera.
Yeah, and then Pejman also says, in the few days after Game 4, we heard a lot about how they've learned a lot from the Florida series and how important this game was. How the hell did they sleepwalk through 2 periods? That's on Monty. And, I mean, he tried, I think, to light a fire in them at practice yesterday. I guess he stopped practice and kind of yelled at him and said they need to start preparing now. So Monty, I think, knew that they weren't ready to go yesterday.
Yeah.
And
but how? Like,
I know.
Don't understand.
I know.
How.
Yeah.
You are about to go home to win a series against your rival that, you know, like you've had great success with. What is the problem? Like, why aren't you ready to go?
I think they're in their own heads. I think they're in their own heads. I think they try. I think when it's almost like when you're trying to hit a fastball that somebody throws 100 or 102 miles an hour, the tighter and the tenser you get to try to swing to hit that ball, you have no chance of doing it.
No chance.
So if you're loose and fluid and you have quick hands, you can hit the ball. But like these guys, they, as soon as it's like, okay, you got a chance to close somebody out, they get all tense and tight, their asshole puckers up, and then, you know, all bets are off.
Yeah.
So
I think you're right.
I mean, I think it's a team-wide mentality.
Right.
That some of these new guys are going to have to break through somehow. I mean, right. some of them are going to have to break. We're going to have to get like a Morgan Geeky, who you said played well tonight. I thought so, too. It's going to have to be a guy like Geeky or Maroon or Boquist or somebody else that's not associated with this core group mm-hmm. that kicks one in and can get this yeah. team to a series win. And then maybe they'll finally fucking relax.
Right. And I think, you know, look, we saw this last year. Florida takes out Alex Lyon, puts in Bob. They win three in a row. Mm-hmm. The goalie change helps. Tonight, Wall was terrific. He yep. goes in, you know, for Samsonov. And that, you know, he is a big factor in winning the game. You know, I don't want Montgomery to really have this knee-jerk reaction and have Swayman sit and have Allmark go in game six. I just have this problem, you know, feeling that he would do something that drastic, you know, because he's scared or because he's grasping at straws now, when I don't think you have to in game six. Like, you still have game seven at home. You go in, you put the guys back in the lineup, you put Shattenkirk back in there, you put Beecher back in there, you go with your group and you say, okay, that was a mulligan. We can go out, win this game. Not as much pressure on us. We're away from home. We're away from the crowd. And I'll tell you what, the crowd doesn't help because the crowd sits on their hands nervous an awful lot in these types of games. And it's probably because they don't trust their own team.
It 100%
is. I'll grant you. But it leads this energy in the building that's just off. And yeah. I think it leads some of that. I'm not blaming the crowd.
No.
But I'm just saying that the crowd does lend to it some because it sits there waiting for something bad to happen.
Well, I mean, something bad usually happens. Right. So that's why. If the Bruins were 6-0 in game sevens, you know, the crowd would be fired up and ready to go. Mm-hmm. But as Poshman says here again, they were definitely tight. 0-5 in their last five series closeout games. Brutal.
Yeah, there you go.
And there, I mean, there yeah. it is. So, you know, mm-hmm. the crowd's waiting for them to lose the game.
Yeah. Right.
Because or yeah. something bad to happen. And then the Leafs score first. So then that piles onto that. Uh-huh. You know, if the Bruins had come out fast, hit everything right. that moves, scored a quick goal, or got on the power play, got some momentum, yes. the crowd would be there.
Right.
But
the Maple Leafs would still be, you know, down and out and questioning themselves.
Right.
And, you know, that it was really important to come out in the first 6 or 8 minutes and really every shift, like really put it on them. If you give up a goal, you give up a goal, like oh, whatever. But you have to come with all your energy and all your effort and all your confidence. Why not? And as Beth says, they laid a goose egg. They laid an egg and she says use the same lineup from game 3 and 4. And I absolutely 100% agree. Like you go back to what got you there. You were in such a good, see, here's the other thing. And people will probably not think it's a big deal with Grizzlick and Shattenkirk and say that Shattenkirk wasn't that great. You played a defensive clinic in the last game. Like, why would you change that in any fashion at all? Like, you had the recipe right there.
Yeah,
and you just change a couple of guys for no apparent reason.
I mean, I went at it off the top, and I'll blow my top again if I start thinking about it and talking about it. But it blows my mind that they made any changes to the lineup. I mean, it seriously does, especially after what happened to them last year in Game 5. It was game 5 when they were like, oh, yeah, let's put Bergeron back in. And he was bad for the last 3 games of the series and they lost. Or, yeah. you know, they just made changes they didn't need to make with the other team on the ropes. And yes. now they let the other team back in it. Now the other yeah. team's feeling good. Mm-hmm. Going to go back home. Probably going to get Matthews back. Wall's wow. playing good. Nylander's back. You know, yeah. the crowd will be into it. You know, yeah. and now the pressure is all on you mm-hmm. because you made changes when you didn't need to.
Yeah, you screwed it up. And I don't know how you don't. And you even admitted, Montgomery, you even admitted last season that you probably shouldn't have done some of the things you did going into game five and make those lineup changes and so forth. And then you do it again. Like, I don't understand. You do it again when you even said that it probably wasn't the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So I am at a loss.
Did really. He not learn his lesson?
I evidently not. Evidently not.
I mean
zero hits from Marchand, zero shots from Marchand. Like, that can't happen. He lifted the team the last two games. I mean, he was terrific the last two games.
Yeah.
Tonight, just not enough. I mean, it's just not enough in a clinching game. And this is the game that you need to have. This is the game where you need to impose your will a little bit and beat this team. And they just didn't do it across the board. It's really disappointing. And I really thought they'd come in tonight and start really well and win the game, because I thought they had learned their lesson and I thought they weren't going to be that team anymore. But evidently this is in their DNA now.
It is in their DNA, and mm-hmm. and it worries me for the mm-hmm. for the duration of the series,
right?
That it is in their DNA, and like I said, I think it's going to have to be up to some of the new guys to, you know, kind of lead the way, lead them through this. I mean, I know you have leadership here in Marchand and Pastrnak and McAvoy that have been around, but they've been around through some, you know, really tough losses in
right.
in game sevens and clinching games and games that mattered. So, mm-hmm. you know, you need someone else kind of to take the mantle and make some plays here to get them over the hump, and then maybe finally they can all relax and get over this and get back to playing the hockey we know they can play. I picked them in six. So
did I.
We're here where we thought they would be, I guess. I didn't think it would go this way. And this makes me a little nervous still, because I think if it gets to seven, they're in big, big trouble. But what's your prediction for game six?
Well, we've talked about how game seven they would lose.
Yes. Like,
we both said that.
Like, correct.
They can't get to seven, and especially after being up 3-1 again. So this has to be a win for them. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to they realize that. I think they will. I'm going to go 3-2 in overtime Bruins. I think I'll tell you what, it's going to be a grinder. It's going to take every bit of will we have as fans to survive it, but they're going to win in overtime to finally put this thing away and move on to the Florida series.
I was going to say 3-2 in overtime as well, but I'll change it up.
That's your go-to.
I think the series is tight. I think it's going to be a tight series. It's going to be a tight game. I'll go what you said, though. I'll go 4-2 with an empty netter late, and the Bruins close it out in game six. Please, for the love of Christ, close it out in game six.
I know. Yeah. I think I'm going to go I'm going to go Coyle with the winner.
And OT?
Game six.
I love it.
I'm going to go Coyle and OT. But I'll tell you what, like, we're going to find out in the first 6 or 8 minutes of this game in game six on Thursday what team we're going to get. Are we going to get hold the sticks tight again? Or are we going to get a team that's just going to come out and say, you know what? We still have an extra game. We still have an extra chance. Like, this is the game we just have to just go balls out and see what we have. I think Marchand, you'll see a better Marchand.
Yes.
I think you still need to see more from Pastrnak.
Definitely.
You know, I think you need to see a little bit more from DeBrusque. Saka has to be much better.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people that have to play much better. Lindholm has to play better. I hope it's Swayman again, because it's not his fault. And I think you go right back with Swayman again. I think if you change the goalie now, then I think you might screw the thing up even more.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. But I'm telling you, I'm not putting it past them. No, I think there's a very, very good chance they go with Ullmark in game six. I think it should be Swayman, like you do. But I really do think that they probably will go to Ullmark in game six.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that was the end of the Matt Grizzlick thing, and I hope that Brazo sits again, you know.
Yeah, you know who I thought actually played a pretty good game overall was Mason Lowry. I thought was really pretty good tonight.
He was. He had three block shots. He had a shot on net. He had he was even 16-32 of ice time. He was on the power play for a minute or so. He had played 22 shifts. He had a hit. He was fine.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. Like, he made some kind of smooth plays through the neutral zone. Right. You know, he does have that, you know, pretty good offensive instinct. So he made a couple of little plays through the neutral zone and D-to-D plays that I liked. So I thought he had a pretty good game. There was a few plays that just, I mean, and I know we're getting close to wrapping this up, but there was a few plays, one being the Bruins finally have a good shift. And it was like, I don't know, maybe halfway through the second period, into the third even, I don't know, when they finally had a good shift. Tons of pressure. Puck comes back to Grizzlick. He's walking down into the slot. 4,000 bodies in front. I believe it was Charlie McAvoy wide open in the right wing circle, basically standing next to him, but without 4,000 bodies in front of him. And he shoots the puck, and it gets deflected wide. Doesn't get all the way through the net. Wasted opportunity. And it's like, bro, pass the fucking puck. Pass it. Right.
Pass it.
Pass it. I just, you know, there's...
I'm with you.
I don't know.
I'm with you. Here's the thing. And, you know, quickly before we go, Lowry, like, why is he playing 16 and a half minutes and Grizzlick's playing 19? Lowry should be playing 20 minutes. I mean, he's a puck mover. He's a bigger kid. He's younger legs. He's been playing fine. Like, Grizzlick shouldn't be the guy, as you mentioned, who's been sitting for whatever. And now he comes in as like a backup defenseman and you throw him in there for 19 minutes. Like, I don't get that thing at all. Like, I don't get it. Like, he shouldn't be coming in and getting a large chunk of minutes. Like, he shouldn't be getting, you know, more than minutes than Lowry
or Wotherspoon
at this point. He should be getting what Shattenkirk was getting.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's it.
That's part of my problem with the whole thing. Like, if you were going to bring him in and play him 10 minutes, sure, fine. But they have him out there with Wotherspoon with like 30 seconds left. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
I know.
And I guess Kylo was hurt, so, you know, there's some issue there. But, like, there's certain things with this coaching staff that I look at and I'm just, my mind is blown where, like, some of the decisions they make late in games and for, like, who's on the ice late in games and then also who's actually in the games. Like, these lineup changes. And then the defensive coach, like, oh, yeah, Grizzlick's going to play 19 minutes. Lowry's going to get 16. Wotherspoon's going to get 14. Why does that happen all of a sudden?
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
I mean, I'm kind of speechless by the whole thing.
I am, too. And it's just a thing I didn't think that they should do. They did, again. And I really think it caused some problems in the game. I really think it changed sort of the landscape of the game. And Toronto gets the victory 2-1 in overtime on a winner by Matthew Nyes, who I think, you know, under the radar is one of the more dangerous players on the team and has been. Like, Nyes is a pretty good young player.
Yes,
like,
he is.
And he doesn't have, you know, all the scars in all the shit that that the upper echelon guys have over there. He doesn't have any of that.
No, he doesn't have the baggage. Yeah,
he doesn't have the baggage. He just goes out and plays, and he's one of the scarier guys out there. And he wins it tonight for Toronto. Game 6 will be Thursday night. Let's hope to hell that the Bruins pull one out on the road again and advance to the second round. Thanks a lot for joining us on Bruins Benders Post Game Live. We'll be back Thursday night after Game 6. Go, Bruins.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.